Mark chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 14. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around on them, with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightway charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." Let's pray. Father, again, as we look into your word now, I pray, Father, that you would speak to each one of us personally. I pray that your word would go out and it would penetrate our hearts. Father, I pray that our lives would be changed for the better. I pray that you would give me the very words to preach and that I would not get in the way of your message that you have for us today, Father, but that I would just be the messenger. And I pray, Father, that you would touch us now, use us to your honor and glory as a church, that we would grow in your mercy and your grace and be ready to go out and share with a lost and dying world your word so they too can have what we have, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as I mentioned, we're going to look at the three fourths, the F-O-R-T-H-S, in our text. We see this man with a withered hand, could be shriveled up type hand, and it was likely that it was a paralysis of some nature, maybe some pinched nerves or some lack of blood flow to his hand and all, and so it shriveled up. But Luke, the physician, tells us in chapter 6 and verse 6 that it was his right hand. It was his right hand. Not every account, and I just shared this with a couple that I'm working with, that when they go to the Gospels, it's good to look at every account from the four Gospels. Not every Gospel has an account of the same. But if it is, go to all four of them, look at them, and read what it says in each one, because you get a little more information in the different Gospels when you put it together. And so you'll get a more complete story of what's happening. And so he tells us it was his right hand. And in ancient time, the medical writers always would say whether it was the left or the right hand that was affected. And we know that the right hand is the hand of fellowship. And so we see this man is probably a picture of being weak and out of fellowship with God. And so he, by the way, all men are weak and out of fellowship with God until they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so first we need to get saved. But so we see that sin paralyzes. Sin paralyzes. And we can't do much for Christ at all when we're in this sinful state. And it's until his nail-pierced hands touch our withered hands, we can't do much. We hear all the time, we can't do anything without Christ, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, but I can do nothing without him, right? Isn't that the implication? Without him, we could do nothing. And so we need him, and until he touches us and changes our life, we really can't do anything. But although the Pharisees could quibble over the Lord's healing on the Sabbath, it's interesting how they could also go about plotting to kill on the Sabbath day also, right? You know, you can't heal somebody on the Sabbath day because, whoa, that's taboo. But we can go and plot to put him to death on the Sabbath day. Isn't it interesting how they have these standards? Kind of a double standard, right? You live your life the way I want you to, the way I say you should, and I'll live however I want. Interesting, isn't it? We were talking the other day, and it's interesting how easy it is for us to find somebody who is not living according to the Word of God like we are, right? Well, because we don't compare ourselves with Christ. We compare ourselves with somebody that we see that is not where we are. We would never even guess that we should maybe compare ourselves with somebody who is further mature than we are, right, in our Christian walk. No, we would never do that. We always look for somebody who's below where we are. But the Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible teaches us that we are supposed to compare our life with Christ. How do we measure up? They go forth to put him to death on the Sabbath day. So the first forth that we come across is stand forth. Stand forth. In verse 3 of our text, he says, and he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Now, can you imagine this man? He is in this crowd. He has no idea what's about to take place, right? He just knows that Jesus looks at him and says, stand forth. Well, he might be around these people for some time, right? They know him. He knows them. He probably even knows the hearts of these people. And he's thinking, what's going to happen if I stand forth? If I obey Jesus' command to stand forth, what are these people thinking? What might they do? We ourselves have to look at ourselves. We have to be honest about where we stand as individuals. Are we standing where we're supposed to stand? Are we standing on the Word of God? Are we standing with the Lord Jesus Christ? We have to be honest with ourselves. We must take our stand. We must be honest about our stand, not just at church. It's easy, right? You go into church and it's easy because people are of like faith, right? So it's easy to talk the talk and walk the walk. But what about at work when the off-color jokes are being told? What about at work when people are using the Lord's name in vain? How about in the shopping centers and stuff when people are swearing and unhappy because the cooler's empty? How do we act then? Do we take a stand in those places? How about when we're on vacation? How about when we're on vacation, nobody here knows us, right? We can do whatever we want because nobody knows us here. Be careful. The world is smaller than you think. And again, I'll just tell you that wherever you're going, it's not going to be far enough that God won't see you. How about at home? We have a tendency to be our worst at home, right? We have a tendency to hurt the people we love the most. We tend to unload when we get home, right? It's, man, I had the worst day ever, and you people are all suffering for it. And you're thinking, boy, I wish I lived somewhere else right now, right? But we have a tendency. So are we taking our stand? Are we being what we're supposed to be, no matter where we're at? Doesn't matter where we're at. We need to understand that a good witness will take the stand. So this man had to make a decision among many people. Many criticizers of Christ were there, and he has to make a decision. Do I just sit here and pretend like he never said anything to me? Or do I take the stand? Do I stand up? Regardless of the pressure that was on him, taking a stand is not easy. It's not. If it was, everybody would do it. Everybody would be willing to take a stand. Everybody would be saying, you know what? You can't talk that way about my Savior. Right? We would all be doing it. But it's that confrontation thing. We don't want to be confrontational. So we just let people talk about our Savior however they want. We let them badmouth him. We let them drag him through the mud. We let them do whatever. It's not easy to take a stand when you're the only one taking the stand. It's a whole lot easier when you're in a crowd that thinks the same way you do. When you make a commitment to follow the Lord, many will be watching you. Many. It's amazing how they put you under a microscope as soon as they know you're walking with the Lord. They want to see you mess up. I tell people all the time, Christians are not perfect. We're just forgiven. Just forgiven. Christians make mistakes. We sin. Not that we should want to, but we do. If you don't commit to following the Lord, and yet people know that you profess to know Christ as Savior, they're watching you too. How can you profess to know Christ and not take a stand? So Jesus wanted this man to stand forth. He wanted this man to identify with him. And if we made a decision for Christ, he wants us to be serious about our stand. He wants us to be serious, and he wants us to take that stand. We sing the hymn, I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And it goes on, though none go with me, still I will follow. That's saying that I don't care if I'm the only one. If no one else goes, I'm still going to follow. The world behind me, the cross before me, the fixated on the cross, not focusing on the world. Can we say that's our commitment? Is that our commitment? Will we stand forth in the name of Christ? This crippled man does not know what Jesus is going to do. So stand forth. Has no idea. Jesus didn't say, I'm making an announcement, everybody listen up. I'm about to heal this man's withered hand. He didn't say that. He just said, stand forth. I have to tell you, when we take a stand for Jesus, we don't know in advance what he's going to do either. We don't have any idea. But I'll tell you this, we do know it's something good. We do know it's something good. So the next thing, the second one is stretch forth. Stretch forth. In verse 5 of our text, it says, And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other, because he followed in obedience. If that man had just sat there and hadn't stood forth, what would have happened? Jesus could have just passed on and found somebody else, right? But he, in obedience to the Lord, stood forth. And then he said, now stretch forth. Once you take your stand, expect God to start to stretch you, and sometimes he'll stretch you a lot. Brother Fred brought out, you know, he could take his hand, if you're in the palm of his hand, he can put some pressure on that. Right? Sometimes a lot more pressure. Sometimes we don't like the pressure, right? But God's doing it for a purpose and for our good. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, if you'll turn over there, keep in Mark because we'll be back. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." He wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, are we measuring ourselves to each other, or are we measuring ourselves against Christ? That's where our measurement should be. That's what we should be looking for. That should be what we should want. Some of us will remember these days when you'd have a teacher to tell you to hold out your hand, right? You'd be caught doing something you weren't supposed to. And what happened? You usually got the ruler across the back of the hand. Nowadays, that would be child abuse, right? I see that some of us that know what I'm talking about survived it. So it must not have been too awful bad, right? But we stretch out our hand and we got it smacked, right? This man stretched out his hand and it was restored to what it was at one time. It's not easy to extend ourselves out into the open, is it? It's just not. It's not easy to make ourselves vulnerable. It's not. This man, no doubt, was self-conscious of, and probably tried to hide his hand from view and not stretch it forth. He might have done that. He might have done that because he had no idea what was going to happen. And just think about, here's hands withered. Could it be painful to the touch? If I stretch forth my hand, I don't know what they're going to do. If Jesus touches that, that might send pain just throughout my whole body. I don't know what's going to happen because Jesus hadn't told him, right? So if I put my hand out there, what's going to happen? This man had to stretch forth his hand by faith, believing that Jesus was going to do some great and mighty thing. When we take our stand, we have to, by faith, believe that God is going to do some great and mighty thing. I believe that's what Jesus did when he stretched forth his hands and was nailed to that cross. He did a great and mighty thing. We need to take our stand. We need to open ourselves up and let God do spiritual surgery on us. Sometimes making an adjustment. I think of adjustments when I go to the chiropractor. He gives me adjustments. How about a spiritual adjustment from the spiritual chiropractor, the Lord Jesus Christ? How about we let Him adjust us into what we are supposed to be instead of what we're trying to be? We need to take our stand. We're stepping out in obedient by faith to His call on our lives, to whatever He wants when we take a stand. It's a leap of faith, a leap of faith. I know my dad used to do this, and then we used to do, you know, kids, you want them to trust you. So when they're little, you throw them up in the air and you catch them. These kids, by faith, they'll come back and they'll want to do it over and over and over, right? Because they're having a good time. Moms, don't listen to this, because I know my mom had a coronary every time my dad did it. But we believed by faith that Dad wasn't going to let us fall to the floor. He was going to make sure that he caught us. And I don't remember not once ever hitting the floor. Because by faith, I knew Dad would catch me. My kids, by faith, knew I would catch them. I don't recommend it if you're not paying attention, but it's the kids had a good time. But it was by faith that they believed that their dad was not going to let them fall and hurt themselves. Do we believe by faith that our Heavenly Father is not going to let us fall and hurt ourselves? If we take that stand, yes, life is not a bowl of cherries, trust me. But God's going to take care of us. He's going to see us through. And I get it that things happen to the just and the unjust. And we go through some difficult times and all. Are we trusting God to get us through? By faith, let's take a stand. Let's take a stand. And then the third one is send forth. Send forth. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14 of our text, it says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, following him in service, sharing what we have with others. I'm going to tell you, stage 3 does not happen until stage 1 and 2 have been completed. God can't send us forth to share with others until we do the other. We've got to stand up, right? Stand forth. We've got to stretch forth, and then we've got to be sent forth. And so we need to understand what He is doing in our lives. We can't be sent forth until we spend some time with Christ. How can you go out and share with other people until you yourself have spent time with Christ? We need to do that. I remember years ago, somebody said, well, he's never gone to Bible college. Well, I hadn't at the time. I hadn't done any really training other than I went through Master Life 1 and 2, which is a grueling 6-month deal of going through the Bible and learning lots of stuff and being accountable to somebody else. It was an amazing experience in my life. Then I went on to Bible Institute and spent 3 years with that and all those things. But at one time they said, he isn't gone to Bible college yet. And I'll never forget, the lady across the table from me when this was all going on, she sent a note across and she said, but you've spent time with Jesus. Have you spent time with Jesus? See, because that's what it's going to take before you can be sent forth. You got to spend time with Jesus. What better place to learn, right? Than at the feet of our Lord and Savior. What better place to learn? But you got to be willing to do it. And I'm not discounting colleges. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with them. I'm just saying, if you're going to spend time with Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Get what you need from Jesus. Sometimes I've been impatient. I've asked the Lord, why, Lord, have you not let us fill this place up? My impatience. I'd love to see this place packed out. That's my desire, right? But God told me, He says, we got to do some things first. We got to take a stand. We got to stand forth. We got to stretch forth before we can be sent forth. God wants us to do some things, some great things. And I believe the answer to my question to Him is answered in these verses. He's been working on us to take a stand, to be stretched, and be prepared to be sent forth. And we need to do that. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. Please. starting in verse 1, reading through verse 7. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." Here we are. He says, "I've been out here all night, Lord. You have no idea what we've done," right? Like God doesn't know. Anybody ever do that to God? God, you have no clue, right? Who's the one with no clue? It's us. God knows exactly what he's doing. And he says, nevertheless, he says, we're going to do what you said. Nevertheless, doesn't matter how bad it's been. Doesn't matter how much we haven't done and been able to get accomplished. Because, Lord, when you said to do it, we just need to stretch forth. We need to just go forth. We need to be ready, willing, and able. Sometimes on the shore, we're standing on solid ground. We like that, right? But then you got to push out a little bit. You got to push out a little bit. Be stretched. Then launch into the deep, right? We're like, whoa, out into the deep. And then God calls us one day to step out of the boat and be a water walker. That takes quite a bit of faith to do that. Especially since we know, man, if I step out onto that water, I'm going to sink. Right? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Let's look over at Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 5. Then we'll finish this up. Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way which looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a water that could not be passed over." Tells us first to step out into the water, just ankle deep, right? Just kind of get your feet wet out there. Then wade out a little bit deeper, maybe knee depth. Then to the waist, and finally to the chin, where you're on your tiptoes, just trying to keep your chin above water, right? And all of a sudden, you're swept away by the current of God's grace. And he sends us out. He sends us out forth, maybe some to a foreign land, maybe some to another area in the United States, maybe some just out to their workplace. But he sends us forth so that we can share what God has done in our lives with others. He wants to send us forth. First, we're standing. Then we're stretched. And then we're sent forth. God's been working on me. I believe He's been working on us. We need to have a vision. I have a vision. My vision's been since I got here that I would love to have a children's ministry that just packs this building out. I would love to have people, and my prayer, you can ask my wife every day, is that God would fill this place with people of all ages, from the nursery all the way to senior adults. That's my desire. I would love for that to happen. But God's working on us. He wants us to want it. He wants us to be willing to stand, to be stretched, to be willing to be sent forth. And I believe that we're getting to that point where God's going to do great things. Do we want it? And by faith, do we believe He'll do it? By faith, we got to believe He will do it. So let's take a stand. Let's be stretched. Let's be willing to be sent forth. Might be just into our community. There's people all over that need the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have to tell you, as much as I've prayed about it, I haven't seen them just flock here. Got to be willing to let them know that we care, and that we want them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Brother Yates was here on Thursday, and he said when he goes to the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, they have to know that you care about them before they'll just open up and let you share with them. They have a great ministry. His parents have a ministry of being able to reach people because they have a ministry of a medical clinic. So they can go in and help them with their physical needs. Now they know they care and they're more apt to listen. Mexico is steeped in Catholicism. It's hard to get them to listen to anything else. But if they know you care, it makes them more willing to listen. It's no different here. If we let people know we care, they'll be willing to listen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that You would fill this place up. That we would see people of all ages come and join here, be a part of the work that You're doing. And I pray, Father, that our desire would be that You would fill it up, that we would be willing to be those who would take a stand, be willing to be those who were willing to be stretched, be willing to be sent forth. Talk to people, that they would come. So, Father, I pray that You would use us to bring glory and honor to You. I pray, Father, this morning, if there's someone in our midst that has never accepted the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray, Father, today would be that day. I pray, Father, for Christians. I pray, are we too comfortable? Are we too comfortable? Or are we willing to be stretched? First, we got to take the stand. Then we can be stretched. So I pray, Father, that You would do a work in each of our lives. We'll turn the invitation over to You now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able. Heads bowed and eyes closed.